Hello. This podcast is brought to you by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group in London and with the kind permission of the Parkinson's UK charity. Welcome to Parkinson's Life Raft. Parkinson's Life Raft is designed to help you, whether you have Parkinson's or, like me, you care for someone who does. And whether you're having a good day or a bad one, we hope you'll feel connected to others who are in the same boat. Each podcast will invite a person or some people to give us a different perspective on living with Parkinson's. My name's Vivian Goldstein, and I'm a member of the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group here in London. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 10 years ago. I then discovered this support group, and I've been an active member ever since. In this, our second episode, I chatted to the wonderful Laura Cockrum, who is Head of Policy and Campaigning at Parkinson's UK. I hadn't met her before and found her to be a positive light. We recorded this a few months ago, as you will hear when Laura speaks of the lovely weather. She tells us what Parkinson's UK is about and what they've achieved and how we can all get involved in this. I hope that you enjoyed this, our second episode of Parkinson's Life Raft. Laura, welcome. So lovely to have you here today. How are you?
Hi, Vivian. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm good, thank you. Enjoying the lovely weather at the moment. I hope you are too.
Yes, and long may it last. Now, this pandemic, where have you been working for the past few months?
I'm pretty much at home, actually. So I've been working in various different rooms in the house. But every now and again, when lockdown restrictions have lifted a bit, I've been able to go back into the office. And that's been great to see colleagues and to see some people with Parkinson's. But mostly at home.
Well done for surviving that. Laura, what does Parkinson's UK do?
So we're a charity that was set up in 1969 by Marley Jenkins. Her sister had Parkinson's, and she didn't feel that there was any information out there about Parkinson's. And so really, we were set up as a charity to support people with Parkinson's and also families and friends by providing information and advice. We then realised that actually there wasn't a lot of research happening to find a cure and better treatments for Parkinson's. So that was added as an element to the charity. And then also I think there was a sense that whilst the NHS is fantastic, we do need to make sure that people with Parkinson's are prioritised and get the services that they need and they deserve. And so the elements around kind of campaigning were added to the charity. So really, as an organisation, we support people living with the condition as well as family, friends and carers. And we also, support and have over 400 local groups across the UK, of which obviously Kensington and Chelsea is one. And those local groups are fantastic at supporting people with the condition and family and friends and carers as well. So I'm really proud to work for Parkinson's UK and proud to work with the Parkinson's community to really try to improve the lives of people who are living with this this really complex and quite tough condition.
You're so right, and I think the charity does a very good job. Information and education is so important to understand what's happening now with whoever and what might happen in the future and prepare for it. How did you become involved with Parkinson's UK and what attracted you to campaigning?
In terms of Parkinson's, I knew a couple of my friends, their parents or grandparents had Parkinson's, but I didn't have a direct link as such. I just finished a job working for a trade union where I was working in terms of campaigning, and I really wanted to get into the charity sector. And I applied for a number of positions, but this one really grabbed me, and I was really excited that this is actually my first position in the charity sector. And I'd been to the party conferences the year before I got my job, and one of the things that I remember really vividly was an activity that was at the party conferences where you had one of those, games where you had a wire and you had to try and get it over there. And that was what Parkinson's UK had as an activity to engage politicians. And they were basically, you know, kind of really trying to get almost like MPs and peers coming along and talking about the condition, thinking about what the tremor is potentially like and how that can have an impact on somebody's life, and really just engaging people in conversation. And so I remembered that and you know, threw it back into the interview, and it really, I think, kind of shocked the interviewers that I'd done a little bit of research but also had that recall as well. But yeah, it's a great organisation, and very much one that wants to work with the Parkinson's community, alongside the Parkinson's community, but also with professionals, so health and care professionals, to try and drive up the quality of care for people with living with the condition. In terms of how I got involved in campaigning, I think I've always been, my mum would have said, gobby, and so I think that's one of the things that as a child, if something wasn't right, if I felt that there was injustice, I would always speak up. And so that followed me through school, it followed me through university, where I was elected as the student union president for a couple of years, and then realised that actually campaigning doesn't just have to be about being gobby. It's about sharing experiences and sharing solutions with decision makers. And that's when in Liverpool, as the student union president, I realised that there were different ways that we could be kind of getting our message across. So yeah, it's been since kind of a younger person, but recognising that we all do some kind of campaigning in our lives on a daily basis, whether that's somebody says, you know, here's a particular service, and you actually say, well, no, that isn't good enough, can you do this, or can you just improve it? So I think it's just really trying to ask for services and for things that meet your needs, and that's really kind of where we are in terms of campaigning at Parkinson's UK.
So is that what you'd say your role is? To find out what's needed and then to campaign to get it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I lead the policy and campaigns team at Parkinson's UK. And so that means that I work really closely with a whole variety of different groups of people with Parkinson's, ask what the particular issues are, and then using the data and evidence that we've got, using the experiences of people with Parkinson's, to develop solutions and suggestions for the NHS, for other government departments, to really try and change and improve things so that what is coming out of government, what is coming out of the NHS, actually meets the needs of our community, which I know may not always seem that we're kind of doing enough, because there are so many challenges, but we're always really excited to hear from the community about what we could be doing a little bit better.
How long have you worked as policy and campaign director?
So I've been with the charity since September 2013, so coming up for 8 years. I don't look there. It's interesting, actually. There's a lot of people, I think, move around in the charity sector, but I've really found working with the Parkinson's community, and there's actually quite a lot of people at Parkinson's UK who have been there longer than I have, because they very much feel that they couldn't move on to another charity, and actually we're kind of all in it together in terms of moving in the right direction and trying to make those changes.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant, fantastic, and you look really well on it. I would think sometimes it's a very stressful job, is it?
The last 18 months, I think, have been particularly stressful, because in March of last year, as we all know, you know, our lives changed, and the way that the government provided services, including the NHS services, has changed immeasurably to citizens across the UK. And of course, in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, things have changed in a different way again. So it's been really tough to try and keep up to date on all of the different changes and the guidance that, that is different. It's been a challenge to try and prioritise what we need to focus on as an organisation to try and influence. But what I will say is the Parkinson's community, whilst they may have been locked down and scared and frightened, but also at the same time, wanting to make sure that the NHS continued to thrive, they've also been really generous with their time working with us to say, actually, if you did this, or if we had a service that did this, this would be better for us. So there's still, that sense from the community that you want to come together and see how and share how things could be delivered in a better way. It's been an interesting kind of 16, 18 months, but just demonstrates actually how much people with Parkinson's and friends and families and carers just want to be part of the solution.
Yeah. And I don't have any experience with any other group, but Kensington and Chelsea are amazing. So many different people, and they're all obviously individuals, but the common denominator is the Parkinson's and the desire to stay connected. And their desire to share their stories and share their experiences from, for example, I get cramp, do you? Or I do this. It's been very helpful. We've not raised any money, but we've kept everyone connected and in a good mental health as far as we've been able to as a group. It's been really good.
And that's so important. That is so, so important, keeping people connected so that they feel they've got somebody to turn to. And that's one of the things that Parkinson's UK did fairly quickly into the pandemic is put more resource onto the helpline, because as you can imagine, calls to our helpline just absolutely shot up. But there are different ways that you can get in touch with us as well, via email, as well as live chat. So there's different ways that people could get support from us, but we recognise that there are also people who weren't online as well, who might want a little bit of a touch, us to touch base with them. And so we had our local advisors call lots of, thousands and thousands of calls to people with Parkinson's, again, just to make sure that they had somebody who was checking in on them, making sure that they were okay. It's really, really important, and so pleased that we have the resource to do that.
Yes, I'm going to interview one of your local advisors soon, and he's just wonderful. So, what do you feel you've achieved so far in your long time at the charity?
Well, I think in terms of campaigns, it's really important to say that campaigns don't happen overnight. So some of them have been long running, and they will be long running for a period of time. So whilst I've been at Parkinson's UK, we have managed to encourage the NHS to fund an advanced treatment called Duodopa. It's not suitable for everybody with Parkinson's, but when non-oral therapies don't work as well, and when you are more advanced in your journey, then there is Duodopa, which is a treatment that can be used, and that's actually now funded right across the whole of the UK. So that's fantastic, and that did take quite a lot of support from people with Parkinson's as well as carers to share, this is the impact of somebody on Duodopa, this is the impact of somebody not on Duodopa, and actually their quality of life is massively different. We've also managed to secure changes to personal independence payments. So that's a benefit that is paid to people who are under retirement age, and to keep them, disabled people, to keep them independent and at home. And there have been lots of controversial kind of issues with what's known as PIP over the year since it was introduced in 2013. But through kind of our campaigning, through putting pressure on the government, we managed to get some changes so that people wouldn't necessarily be reassessed on a regular basis. They might get a light touch review kind of every 10 years. We've also managed to work closely with the benefit assessment companies to improve the assessments that they conduct, so that they are more sensitive to Parkinson's and they understand Parkinson's more. There's still a way to go and we still need to do more with them, but we will continue to do that work. We've also campaigned in local areas to get Parkinson's nurses, and we know how vital Parkinson's nurses are, to get those in post. So, for instance, an NHS body might say, a nurse is retiring, oh, you know, we can save 40, 50, 60,000 pounds by not replacing them, yet we come in very quickly with the evidence from our local groups about how valuable they are, the evidence that demonstrates how valuable they are to the NHS, and that really helps to make the case. We've also done a lot of work around medication management, and people may have heard of our Get It On Time campaign. It's not been successful absolutely everywhere, but we have managed to change policies and practices in some hospitals across the UK, and we'll continue to work on that. But there's just lots of different things that we've had some success with. I mean, through the pandemic, one of the things that people were calling in and saying they were having real issues accessing food on online shopping. And so we worked with the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs to encourage them to put people who have long-term conditions are noted as clinically vulnerable, of which people with Parkinson's are, to prioritise for shopping delivery slots. So that was really important, and also to get people who are in care homes, to get their families to actually be able to visit them. We weren't able to get that happening as fast as we would like, and actually working with the Alzheimer's Society, Carers UK and other organisations helped us to get some movement on that, which is definitely something I know our community were really pushing for.
Mm-hmm. The PD nurses is always a subject that comes up within our group meetings, and the lack of them. What other campaigns have you got in development at the moment?
So at the moment, we're developing a campaign around Parkinson's services, because as you can understand, the NHS has a lot to do in terms of getting back onto making sure that people have the services that they should, so that waiting lists are decreasing. So that's, you know, that's one of the big focuses for us in the coming weeks and months. We also have some work that's been going on for about a year, interviewing and gathering evidence from people with Parkinson's dementia, and also from professionals who treat people with Parkinson's dementia, because that's an area of work that we haven't done a lot of influencing work around. And so we want to try and improve the services that people with Parkinson's dementia and their carers receive. Mm. And there's ongoing work around trying to improve mental health services for people with Parkinson's. And as I mentioned before, medication management in hospitals and care homes, that's another big focus for us, because we know that in some areas it works really well and in other areas it doesn't work so well. So we want to make sure that we transplant the good practice into areas where it's not so good.
Well done. And Parkinson's UK does a lot of research, doesn't it? Actual medical research. Or does Parkinson's UK contribute to somebody doing research?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a team of colleagues who focus on Parkinson's research, and we fund a lot of Parkinson's research. So researchers across the UK, but actually not just across the UK, across the world. We are working on a whole variety of different research projects, from trying to find and repurpose drugs and treatments that could slow or stop or reverse Parkinson's, through to looking at what therapeutic interventions are particularly effective. We also have research on things like Apple Watches and apps and gadgets and devices that can potentially help you to live with Parkinson's in kind of a better way. So there's a whole variety of different research that people can take part in, either, you know, from their home or actually by going into a clinic or going to a hospital. So there's a whole variety of ways that people can get involved in research as well.
Amazing. Have you learnt anything like the wrong way of campaigning or something on the policy side of things as a tip to Parkinson's patients or carers? What has really stood out for you?
I think the most important thing is actually people's individual experiences. So I can come up with all of the different facts and figures and statistics, and I can show that to a minister, or I can show that to an MP, but actually it's the personal stories and the experiences that people with Parkinson's bring along with that really that really means something, and that kind of bring all of those facts and figures and stats to life. So I think that the one thing that I would say is everybody with Parkinson's has their own particular story, and I would really encourage people to share that story with Parkinson's UK if you feel comfortable, because I think that it can be used in a lot of different ways to create changes for the Parkinson's community, to get more Parkinson's nurses, to get more research funding, or to get some research funding from the government so that we can find better treatments and a cure. So yeah, share your story. I think that's the most important thing.
That's interesting. Fantastic. Laura, thank you so much for your time today. You're a joy, really, really lovely. And I can see the passion and love you have for your subject, and to have to deal with ministers and government is a very, it's a bit plodding, isn't it? It has to be. I understand it has to. My guess is that you are also a very patient person, as well as being gobby, which you've managed to temper very well over the years, and that's why you've been so successful. Well done, very well done. So I think you do an amazing job, and I'm sure this is going to encourage people listening to this podcast to want to donate their time, their money, their stories, anything that would help this great cause that is the great charity Parkinson's UK. How best can people get in touch with you or with Parkinson's UK for whatever reason?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've obviously got the Parkinson's UK website. So that's www.parkinsons.org.uk. And there's a whole variety of information on the website. And that's from information on when you're newly diagnosed or different treatments, to benefits and kind of local groups and support you can get there. There's also information on there about our research as well, and volunteering opportunities. So as I say, a wealth of information there. In terms of getting in touch with campaigns, I would say, feel free to pick up the phone and call us. So we're on 0207 963 9349. or you can email the campaigns team on campaigns@parkinsons.org.uk. If you want to get in touch because you've got questions or queries that are kind of more general in nature, or you want to speak to a Parkinson's nurse on our helpline, or you've got any questions about kind of benefits or treatments, then feel free to call our helpline. So their number is 0808 800 0303. And you can also email them and they will obviously respond. And that's hello@parkinsons.org.uk.
Great. I'm going to print this all up on our webpage. And my experience of phoning Parkinson's UK is very good. They answer pretty quickly, which is astonishing. And they're so friendly and so helpful. And even if they don't know the answer, they make every effort to find the answer. They say, just hold on a moment, I'll find out. They're delightful. So it's very sad that my husband has Parkinson's, but the community, the charity, everyone I've met who has anything to do with Parkinson's is incredibly supportive. So, Laura, thank you very, very much for being on this podcast, and thank you for being so informative and a delight to listen to.
Well, thank you ever so much, Vivian. It's been great to spend the afternoon with you, but also at the same time, you're such a positive ray of light. So I'm really just, I hope your podcast series goes from strength to strength.
Well, thanks. I hope we can help everyone concerned. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, and you too. Take care.
Wasn't Laura great? Giving us a clear insight into what Parkinson's UK does. And it seems to me that they work very hard using their imagination and purpose. Clearly good people. So, you know how to get hold of them if you want to get involved in any way, and I thoroughly encourage you to do so. And thank you for listening. Do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at pliferaft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves. In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Brzezinski for the idea, our chairman John Amphlett, who always encourages an idea, Nick F. Grave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS Design for the graphics and sound editing. This is a production by Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group with permission from Parkinson's UK.
Please note that unless otherwise stated, the people speaking in this podcast are not experts. They are describing their personal experience of Parkinson's disease and ways they have personally found helpful in dealing with it. You must consult your own medical advisors before acting on any suggestions made in this podcast. This applies to experts as well as non-experts. Nothing in this podcast is to be treated as advice, and no liability whatsoever is accepted by the makers or participants for any steps taken in reliance on any part of its contents.